Anyway, let's get right into our word this morning. Again, thank you for your faithfulness and giving. We could not do any of the ministry and stuff we do without your faithfulness. Today we're going to be preaching on, our helper. Our helper, John 16, verse number 7, one passage of Scripture. These are the words of Christ. He says, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage." Everybody say, "My advantage." "It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the helper will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage," or for your good, "that I go away. For if I do not go away, the helper will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you." May the Lord add his blessing to his word this morning. So last week I said I was going to do a two-part message on the Holy Spirit. And last week I preached on the encouragement, or being encouraged by the Spirit, and we looked at the neglected doctrine of the Holy Spirit. Now neglecting such a powerful truth puts you and I as believers at a disadvantage in the present world we're living in. Listen, we don't have to go very far to understand that we're living in what Paul said was perilous times. How many would agree with that? We're living in difficult days. We're living in dark days. Now, I'm not here to gloat about the darkness, because I live in the light. But the reality is, he said, look, in the last days, they're going to be troublesome times, perilous times. Another place, he said, that the last days would be noted by people who would be given over to doctrines of demons, that they would not endure sound doctrine. He said they would search out for preachers that would tickle their ears, that would tell them how special they are and how you know, and all these things that just soothe our consciences rather than the Word of God. Now, I do understand. God loves me. And I declare that. God loves you. God loves me more than I can even fathom. But the reality is, he's also a God of justice and judgment. And we've got to know both sides of that. You know, we're very good at presenting a God of love, but we're not very good at preaching and teaching on the judgment of God. The Bible says, without holiness, no man will see the Lord. Without holiness, no man will see the Lord. There's something about how we live that's important. I know that the culture we live in, that, you know, this is a doctrine. The Holy Spirit has been a neglected doctrine for a long time, but we have to remember the Holy Spirit is not a force. You know, if you're a Star Wars fan, it's not "may the force be with you." It's not something like that. It's not a force. It's not a feeling. He's not an emotion. The Holy Spirit is part of the Godhead. He is much God as God the Father and God the Son. The Holy Spirit, what does he do? Now, we talked about this last week. Well, he guides us. He teaches us. He empowers us. He convicts us of sin. And most importantly, he transforms us into Christ's likeness. Now, after all, isn't that what Christian means? They were first called Christians where? Remember? Antioch. That's right. They were first called Christians in Antioch. And it wasn't meant as a nice compliment. It was meant as a pejorative word. It was a negative thing, okay? They were first called Christians in Antioch. It was a slur. It was a slight, a diss. I don't know what the word is I'm trying to find. Anyway, it wasn't positive. It was a criticism. It meant someone who's like Christ. That's what it is. So again, the Holy Spirit helps to transform me to be like Jesus. Now Jeff could talk to you, but probably about stories of our childhood. I've been very transparent with you. I wasn't always the choir boy. I know that's shocking, right? You know, I wasn't always Preacher Mike. I was not always on this side. But the Holy Spirit got a hold of me and began to change me. That's part of his responsibility. What was he doing? He was taking out Mike and putting in Jesus. That's where the ministry of the Holy Spirit, that's why it's missing today. Because we got so many people today that want to see how close to the world they can get and still call themselves a believer, when the Bible says, and the present ministry of the Holy Spirit is to come out from among the world and be separate, to be the distinctive people. It's the present ministry. Now, in our text this morning, I could really chase a lot of rabbits, because I love talking about the Holy Spirit. Jesus has been preparing his disciples for his departure. Now, you got to remember, when Jesus came on the scene, he called 12 men, okay? They're his disciples. And they all left their business. They left their homes. They left their futures. And they went to follow this man from Nazareth, okay? And so when they started in public ministry, Jesus had been teaching them. Now, guys, I'm not going to be with you forever. Look at his early ministry. He kept reminding them that my purpose is to do the will of the Father who sent me. Okay, so I'm not going to be with you forever. So in John 14, if you turn back a few pages, Jesus said this. He said, famous passage, one of my favorites. He says this, let not your heart be troubled. Now I find that kind of interesting. Because Jesus is speaking to the guys who left everything. I mean, they gave up, again, they gave up their industry, they gave up their futures, they gave up their destiny to follow Jesus. And now he's saying, oh, by the way, guys, I'm not going to be around much longer. And then he says, oh, and don't let your heart be troubled. Really? I mean, how is that? I mean, you can see the cynicism among these men. As Jesus said, don't let your heart be troubled. They're thinking, you know, it's kind of like when a parent says, hey, this is going to hurt me more than it hurts you. I never bought into that, by the way. Or you get some personal trainer, I'm not looking over at anybody's direction, that says this is for your good. Yeah, it is. I'll be in traction for the next 2 weeks. It's for my good. That's kind of what's going on here. You know, Jesus is like, guys, it is for your good that I go away. And they're like, yeah, right. What you talking about, Willis? You know, dates me right there. I mean, Jesus, how in the world? How in the world could this be better for me if you go away? I mean, Jesus, do you understand without you? I mean, we can't keep ourselves straight. You ever heard somebody say, I need a little bit of Jesus? You know, they got this little figurine floating around on social media that says a little Jesus. Hey, I don't know about you. I don't need a little Jesus. I need a whole lot of Jesus. Because there's a lot of people in this world that are pushing that little Jesus right out. I need a lot of him. So they're like, Lord, I mean, without you, we can't keep ourselves straight. I mean, can you imagine the protest? Without you, Jesus, we can't get along with each other. I mean, he thinks he's better than me, when really he knows I'm better than him. That's what we do. Come on, you laugh. I mean, it's funny, but we know that's reality. Lord, I mean, they're vying for position. Lord, without you, I mean, we struggle with each other. We think more highly than we ought to of ourselves. Our faith is inadequate. We oftentimes have little faith. We give way to sin. I mean, we had two guys that were with Jesus that wanted to call fire down and burn up a whole city. Lord, without you, man, can you imagine what they would be doing? Lord, without you, we can't stand for what's right. We can't witness to lost people. I mean, Jesus, how can you say that? And then again, who would blame them for being so fearful and confused? But here's the thing. It wasn't the end of the story. I preached it many years ago, but God. See, there's always more. Well, Lord, I can't be, I don't know what's going on. I mean, you're telling me it's better for me, but I don't see how in the world it could be better for me, but it's not the end of the story because Jesus said, the reason that I have to go away is so that the Comforter will come. Hear it again. But I tell you the truth. This version says, it is good for you. How many like good things? Like two or three Krispy Kreme donuts. It is good for you. I mean, at least it's taste-wise, probably not health-wise, 1 million calories per one. It is good for you that I'm going away. Because he said, unless I go away, the counselor will not come to you. But if I go, he said, I'll send him to you. I'll send him to you. Well, John 14, he makes a similar statement. He says this in verses 16 and 17. He said, I will ask the Father, and he who, God, will give you another counselor to be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth. So you see what he's doing right there. He said, look, guys, it's important that I go away because if I don't, then the promise of the Father won't come. But if I go, then I'll pray the Father and he'll send you another comforter or counselor and he'll be with you forever. You ever got in a place in your life where you felt like you're alone and isolated? Listen, this is why it's so important that we learn how to walk by faith and not by feelings. Because there are times we don't feel it. You know, I enjoy emotional stimulation. I enjoy coming into worship time. And, you know, I used to be a real tough dude. And, and now I'm a wimp. I mean, we get some of these songs, and I just feel it in my emotions, and I cry, and you know, all that kind of stuff. And some, I like to feel that. But you know what? Sometimes feelings betray us. Sometimes, listen, emotions are not the best indicator or barometer to measure where you are. Sometimes emotions will take you a place that you don't want to be. So he said, look, I've got to go away because the counselor needs to come. And he won't come unless I go. You know, so the counselor that Jesus was referring to is the Holy Spirit. The comforter that Jesus was referring to is the Holy Spirit. The disciples were about to enter in pretty soon to a new partnership with the Holy Spirit that would radically revolutionize their lives. It would radically revolutionize their relationships, and it would absolutely change the world. Because the early church that tarried for 10 days in the upper room, he said, you wait here until the promise of the Father. 10 days later, the promise of the Father was poured out. They came out of the upper room with stammering lips, intoxicated and empowered by the Holy Spirit, and they changed the world. And why is it that we today in the modern church want to do by muscle what God has ordained to be done by miracle? Why is it that today we're trying to find formulas and secret remedies and things like that to try to do to our culture what the early church did because they were filled with the Spirit? That's why the doctrine of the Holy Spirit is so important to today's culture. We've got a group of children and young people that are growing up today that don't understand the present ministry of the Holy Spirit and not knowing what the fullness of the Spirit is all about. What's going to empower them to change their college campuses, their high school campuses, their junior high campuses, and yes, even their elementary campuses. It's not some other philosophy from a renowned scholar. It is the Holy Spirit working inside of them that shines a light in the darkness where they are. That's what's going to change our world. It's important. It's important that they understand that. You know, this is why this doctrine is so important. He wants to be our helper. He wants to be our comforter. He wants to be our counselor. And that's what the Holy Spirit was to the early church, to the disciples, and that's who he wants to be in the 21st century church. There are three things I want to give you real fast from this passage. Number one, let's talk about the promise. Last week I said we need to affirm the promise. What's the promise? Well, the promise is in Acts chapter 1, verse 8. But you shall receive power after that the Holy Spirit has come upon you. Now, why? And you shall be my witnesses. There it is. The purpose of the Holy Spirit is not an emotional stimuli. Contrary to what you might see on Christian television today, contrary to what some places want to... Listen, I enjoy the tangible presence and experience of the Lord, but the primary purpose of the Holy Spirit was not to make me feel anything, but to cause me to carry on the ministry of Jesus. Amen. You shall be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and that's the promise. That's what Peter, he stood up on the day of Pentecost, he said, hey, this is that, what's that, the promise, which was spoken by Joel the prophet, who said, in the last day, saith the Lord, I will pour out of my Spirit upon all flesh. Fast forward, he stands up and says, this is that. What's that? The promise of the Father would be poured out. We're still living in that dispensation. He's pouring out these last days the power of the Holy Spirit, okay? So that's a promise. So here's what Jesus said once again. But I tell you the truth, it is for your good that I'm going away. Unless I go away, the counselor will not come. If I go, I'll send him to you. So to fully understand the person and ministry of the Holy Spirit, we have to begin with the knowledge that the Holy Spirit's coming is based on a promise, not the concoction of a man. That's the Holy Spirit. This is a promise of God. There are people who seem to think that a denomination created the person and ministry of the Holy Spirit. But right here, Jesus gives a promise. He said, hey, if I go away, then I will send him to you, the Holy Spirit. The promise Jesus made about the Holy Spirit is necessary for at least two reasons, probably many more, but at least two. Number one, the promise Jesus gives us reveals our desperate need. Listen, I don't know about you, but I need Jesus. I need the ministry of the Holy Spirit in my life. I mean, we've got to have the Holy Spirit. You know why? Because there's no way I can live out the Christian life without divine enablement. Because, see, I still have Mike Mizell, the old one, in here. And you know what he does? He fights. He fights against the new man. I promise you that before today's over, there's going to be somebody get on your last nerve, and you'll have a chance to see the present ministry of the Holy Spirit. I promise you. Somebody at the restaurant's going to get your order wrong. Somebody's going to cut you off in that line. Somebody's going to tell you that you've got 16 items in the 15-item line. Get out of it. Am I telling the truth? Somebody's going to get on your last nerve. And you'll have a chance. You'll know what I'm talking about, because it's impossible. Because the flesh in me, if somebody cuts me off. So you remember the story when we had our foreign exchange student. I hadn't shared it in a long time. We had a girl from, used to be East Germany. We had living with us, and I, being a good host family, we were taken to a Ranger ball game one day. And God's done a lot of work in my life, except when it comes to traffic. I'd be okay if everybody learned how to drive. It's the other people that don't know how to drive that gets on my last nerve. So my daughter can attest to this. We're driving to this ball game, and of course they're in the back of the truck. We're at a truck. We're driving up in Arlington going to the ball game, and this girl just zooms around me and just shoots right back in front of me, cuts me off. Well, being the good, polite Christian pastor that I am, I floored it, jumped out, jumped ahead, and boom, right back in front of her. In Jesus' name. So you got to add that to everything you do. Well, guess what? It didn't make her happy. So she did the same thing. She got mad, she floored it, jumped out to the side, shot around, put right back in front of me. Well, I thought, okay, you're going to play that game, huh? I got a Ford. I'm telling you, I can beat you. So I did the same thing, and this time when I passed her, she gave me a friendly gesture. And I'm thinking, all right, you want to go there. And I kid you not, the Holy Spirit's a great thing. I gun that thing, I jump out, and I get right beside her, and for whatever reason, I check my rearview mirror, and there are my two kids and this foreign exchange student who comes from what used to be a communist country that didn't know anything about Jesus, sitting in the back seat of my truck. And I passed this girl at that moment, and the only thing I could do was, I go, just like that. I thought it was good. Boy, that just incensed her. They're dying laughing. I got convicted. So I had to apologize to them for, I'm just telling you that without the power of the Holy Spirit, we can't live. We can't live the way we've been called to live. It's just, it's impossible. It's impossible to live the Christian life without the enabling power of the Holy Spirit. Here's what Paul said. Paul kind of gives us an illustration in Colossians 3. I always say Colossians 3 is a garage sale of Christians. Because here's what he said. He said, put to death. I mean, that's pretty strong. He said, put to death what is earthly in you. Sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, covetousness, which is idolatry. He said, on account of these things, the wrath of God is coming. Now, I don't know about you, but when I think about the wrath of God, I don't want to be a part of it. Amen. He said, because of these things, God's wrath is coming. He goes on and he says, it's easy for Christians because we think, well, I read that list. Well, I'm not immoral. I'm not impure. I don't have evil desires. You know, but then Paul says, but now you also have to put these things away. Anger. Preacher, you're meddling now. Wrath. Malice. Slander. Obscene talk. From your mouth. See, this is a standard that we can't live up to without the working of the Holy Spirit. You see, left to our own devices and choices, we will always choose evil. We'll always choose sin. We'll always choose what benefits us. Our best interest. Jesus said, look, I'm going to send you the counselor and the comforter, and he'll help you. Because Jesus knew we couldn't do it without him. Amen? Secondly, Jesus not only reveals our desperate need, but Jesus also reveals the nature of the Holy Spirit. Jesus identifies the Holy Spirit as and the word that he used, he calls him counselor and comforter, and the word that he uses is a Greek word, parakletos. Parakletos. Now, Tom and Judy, you remember, y'all bought Sheila and I shirts a couple years ago. They got us T-shirts that have the word paraclete on it. And they gave it to us, and they said, now, when you wear this in public, it's a good conversation starter. I would say so. What in the world's listen to people try to pronounce it, number one, and then try to figure out what it means, parakletos. Parakletos is a rich meaning, and we really don't have an English equivalent. There's not an English word that can capture the nuances of what it means in the Greek. So here's a couple things. Parakletos was used to describe a defense attorney, okay? So the Bible says we have an advocate, okay? We have an advocate, that's paraclete. It also is used to describe a specialist in any field who could come up and supply missing knowledge. So like if you go to the doctor with a health concern and they say, well, you need to go see a specialist, that's paraclete. It also, the word paraclete means one called alongside, an encourager. We need paracletes. We need encouragers. And he said, that's the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is to come alongside of us. You know, have you ever grown weary? You know, Paul writes to the Galatians, he said, be not weary in well-doing, for in what? Due season. Have you ever got tired? Do it. Listen, ministry's tiresome. Ministry, I always tell people, ministry's work. You know, it's not, it's work. It's W-O-R-K. It's a four-letter word. It's work. And if you're not working, you're not ministering. And sometimes you get tired. And it's nice to know that the Holy Spirit is a parakletos, a paraclete who comes alongside and encourages just when you get ready to want to wave the white flag and say, I'm done and I quit and I'm tired and I can't get anybody on my side. Remember, the Holy Spirit is the one that comes along and says, you can do this. You got this. Keep going. One more step, one more breath, one more opportunity, and you see things change. How often do we quit one prayer too short? One class less than what we need. The parakletos is an encourager. It's important to understand that the Holy Spirit, again, is not an impersonal force. He wants to be personal with us just as much as Jesus is in our lives. That's why John 14, Jesus referred to him as another counselor. If you look at that phrase in the Greek, what it means is another of the same kind. Just like Jesus was to those disciples, the Holy Spirit wants to be to us an ever-present help in whatever comes our way. Second thing, that clock right? Second thing is priorities. Let's talk about priorities. The Holy Spirit has three great priorities for every believer, every one of us. Number one, the Holy Spirit wants to help us get right. That's called salvation. Do you know that there's not one person on earth that gets saved without the ministry of the Holy Spirit? Not one person. John 16, 18, or verse 8 says, when he comes, who? The paraclete. When he comes, he will convict the world of sin, of guilt in regard to sin, and righteousness and judgment. It's the Holy Spirit who works in our heart. Anybody know what it's like to be convicted by the Holy Spirit? That's what he does. He wants us to get right. Jesus said in John 3, 5, he told Nicodemus, he said, I tell you the truth, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless he is born of water and the Spirit. The flesh gives birth to the flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to the Spirit. Long before we ever know the Holy Spirit, he knows us. And he's working. And see, that's why I say, don't ever discount prayer. Don't ever sell it short. If you've got an unsaved loved one, an unsaved husband, an unsaved wife, lost kids, pray. My prayer, what I say is we need to pray, God, may the eyes of their understanding be enlightened so that they might hear your truth and believe. How is that going to happen? How does the truth of God become enlightened to someone? Through the ministry of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is necessary because he illuminates truth to us. He wants us to be right. Secondly, the Holy Spirit wants us to grow right. Now, that's the word sanctify. Boy, when's the last time we heard a sermon on sanctification? You know, it's a fancy word. All it means is to be set apart. It means to be set apart. We've been sanctified, set apart by the Holy Spirit. Paul said we've been sealed by the Spirit, set apart. When we're born again, there's a process that starts. As a kid, we used to sing that song, He's Still Working on Me. to make me what I ought to be. Boy, I got that melody all jacked up, didn't I? I'm not a singer either, Jeff. Yeah, but everybody else would, so anyway, you're good. Yeah, so he starts a process, just like Jeremiah. Remember when Jeremiah 18, he goes to the potter's house. What does he do? He picks up a lump of clay. That's all we are, is a lump of clay. He puts that lump of clay on the wheel. So here's something. This is free charge, not even in my notes. When life starts spinning, you think things are out of control. No, it's just the process. God's got the wheel turning. That potter takes that clay, begins to put pressure on it, begins to squeeze it, mold it, and start shaping. What's he shaping it into? The vision he has for you. And if we slide off, guess what? He puts us right back on it because he's committed to it. He's working in us to change us. That's the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Listen, if a healthy baby doesn't grow, what do? You take the baby to the doctor and say, hey, what's up? Because there's a process, there's a biological process where that baby goes from infancy to toddler to preteen to teenager and then hopefully to an adult. Although adulting is a little bit overrated these days, if you ask me. Help, there's a process. Same thing. When we're born again, we're born as babes in Christ, and there's a process of discipleship, sanctifying, taking. Listen, we've all come with baggage. I've shared with you the struggles of my life, when I rebelled against the Lord, ran away from home, and I went out and jumped into the world with everything in me and lived totally contrary to what I was raised to believe. When I came back to the Lord, he started that process of cleaning out all the junk, and guess what? He's still doing it. Because there's an old nature in me that fights every day to get out. And until he comes, and you know, here's the good news is one day, Paul said to the Corinthian church in chapter 15, he said, we'll all be changed. In the moment, in the twinkling of an eye, we'll be changed. You see, this mortal body that's filled with flesh has the two natures in it that's fighting every day, that old nature to get out and the new nature to keep trying to say, okay, don't do that. Don't do that, Mike. Don't do that, Mike. It'll be gone. He'll give me a new body. This corrupted body will put on incorruption. See, that's my promise. But until that day happens, guess what? There's still something inside of me that fights. And so I need the sanctifying work of the Holy Spirit to keep pulling me away. See, my job is not to see how close to the world I can get and still call myself a believer. My job is to walk with a distinctiveness about me. Not because I'm better than anybody else, but because I've been bought with a price and I'm not my own. He valued me enough that he sent his only begotten son to die on Calvary, a sinner's death, take on my sin, your sin, so that we would not have to pay it. Sanctify. The third thing is that he wants to help us go. That's important. That's what they're doing. That's service. Every believer ought to have a service. Every believer ought to have something. Now listen, I know as we get older, ministries change. We can't do what we used to do. That's one of the gripes I have with getting older is there are things that I like to do that I can't do much anymore. And again, I'm not talking decrepit. God still blessed me with fairly good health. It's just there's the things I can't do. I mean, I don't have the same energy level, the same stamina. It's just, it happens. But you know what? I still want to serve him. I still want to be a part of it. Reinhard Bonnke, I love what he said. He said, and I quote, he said, God does not sit with sitters nor sleep with sleepers. God goes with goers and he works with workers. Isn't that good? God does not sit with sitters and he does not sleep with sleepers, but God goes with goers and he works with workers. Again, what's the assignment? Acts 1:8. But you shall receive power after that the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses. One of the things I've always loved about Tommy Barnett is his ministry. He says, every member a minister. And what a philosophy. What an image to think about, that each and every one of us here are in ministry for the King. Again, whether it's a marketplace missionary, a vocational minister, a missionary, whatever it is, we are all ministers unto the Lord in the dark world we live in. That's an eye-opening thing right there. You know, he said, you shall receive power. That word power in the Greek is dunamis. And it's from that word we get our word dynamite, right? Dynamite. And the most basic meaning of dynamite or dunamis is the ability to do what needs to be done. Listen, if God calls you to it, He'll see that you're qualified to do it. That's the truth. God's not going to ask you to do something that's beyond your capability. You may sell yourself short. You may think that you can't. But if God calls you to, He will give you what needs to be done. That's the enablement of the Holy Spirit right there, to do what you could not otherwise do. It's the ability to get things done. Listen, the early church was empowered by the Holy Spirit. What were they empowered to do? To finish the ministry of Jesus. That's it. When they came out of that upper room, they came out of the upper room with stammering lips, filled and intoxicated on the Holy Spirit, and they began to declare the goodness of the Lord. And 3,000 people are added to the church. 5,000 people are added to the church. The Bible said they grew in favor with God and man, and the Lord added to the church such as should be saved. Great grace was upon them. Signs and wonders followed them as they preached and declared the truth of God's word. Listen, we want to talk about signs and wonders in today's modern time. It's happening, by the way, around the world. But I'm telling you, if you want to see that happen, then you let a church get back to the basics of what it means. It's not sending somebody to some slick advertising school or some media campaign to learn how to promote and package the church ministry. It's about getting to the prayer closet and getting men and women and boys and girls filled and saturated with the anointing of the Holy Spirit, and then say, now go out into the darkness and shine. Because the darkness cannot comprehend the light. It drives it out. Lastly, and I got to close. Guys, come on back. Here's the third thing I glean from this partnership. Here it is. It's great to know that the Holy Spirit is our helper, our counselor. But here's the thing. We all have a part to play in it. We all have a part to play in it. Acts 1, Jesus tells him in verse 4, He said, don't leave Jerusalem. Don't leave Jerusalem. He said, but wait for the gift of my Father, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you'll be baptized with the Holy Spirit. So what did they do? Well, I mean, you read later on in Acts, they went back to Jerusalem. They went up to the upper room. They did a couple things. Number one, they showed up. How often do we miss things because we didn't show up? Maybe that... And don't read between the lines because there's nothing there, but how many times does God, you pray for God to give you a word, and on a Sunday God gives a word, but you ain't there to hear it? Well, I can go on vacation if I want. You're missing the point. How often do we absent ourselves and we struggle? Part of the miracle is like success. Half of being successful is just showing up. You talk about people that work out, go. Listen, you'll never get healthy if you don't do something different. You'll never grow a muscle if you don't exercise it. You'll never get a benefit out of gym membership if you don't go. Half of it is showing up. They showed up. They obeyed. Jesus said, go back to Jerusalem and wait. And they go back to Jerusalem and they tarry 10 days. And glory fell. Listen, I really believe, and I'm not, don't jump into something that's not really there. I'm just saying we need to learn how to show up. We need to find where Jesus is and what Jesus is doing and just show up. If we want God to work powerfully in our lives, put ourselves in a place where God can work in our lives. Show up. Just show up. God's not looking for superstars, and He's not looking for theologians, and He's not looking for orators and great people with great and vast vocabulary. He's just looking for people that say, Lord, I'm not much, but what I have, you can have. What I am, you can have. I just show up. And the second thing they did, they came together. Unity. That's what I'm talking about. Well, wouldn't it be, I've said this before, but wouldn't it be amazing? I mean, just think about what could be accomplished if we didn't care who got the credit. We're so worried. So worried about all that. So, listen, they united around the promise that Jesus made. They aligned themselves with God by praying and seeking God for the fulfillment of that promise, and God poured it out on them, and they changed the world. It's the same today. We're divided. Listen, be careful about modern culture, because modern culture today is seeking to drive wedges in every realm of society. They want to drive us wedges between us racially. They want to divide us economically, educationally, where we live, what we drive, what we wear. The society's doing everything that they can to fracture and fragment. You know why? Because they know there's power in unity. When the body of Christ comes together, united for the kingdom of God, there's not a devil in hell nor a person on earth that can stop what's in heaven being loosed upon what's in earth. There's not one thing that can stop us. But you know what they do? They play the shell game, and we get distracted over here, and we miss what they're really trying to do. Pay attention. When Nimrod united all the people at the Tower of Babel, got them all together, remember what God said? God said, look, we got to go down there, and we got to confuse them, because if we don't, what they put their minds to, they'll not be able to be stopped. Boy, what a powerful validation of the power of unity. Think about this as a couple. I'm closing. If a husband and wife come together as a couple and are not concerned about who might be treated, you understand what I'm saying? We've got so much fragmenting in the nuclear family. Part of the problem with today's world is parents, marriages. What I would say is, pray together in the Holy Spirit. If you want to see God do something in your marriage, if you want to see God do something in your... The present ministry of the Holy Spirit is to guide us into His truth. Get together as a couple. Pray together. Do Bible study together. Grow yourself together. So we get jealous because this one gets to do this and this one can't do that. This one has this and this one doesn't have that. And He's looked at every opportunity to fracture and fragment the family. And as a result, we see the havoc that's been wreaked over the last 30 years. Fatherlessness in the family, abortion, human trafficking. Human trafficking is horrible. America is one of the largest consumers of sex tourism on earth. In our own state, Texas is one of the leading states for human trafficking. Church, it shouldn't happen. There ought to be men and women of God that would say, hey, we're not putting up with this, Jack. Because we come together. We're so worried. Well, what denomination are they? Who cares? If they believe in Jesus, the only begotten of the Father, the atoning sacrifice at Calvary, who cares? Come together. Fight the atrocities of today. This church came out of the upper room united under the banner of the Holy Spirit, filled with the power of God, and they changed the world. What I'm saying is it can happen today. God, we need, listen, I don't need a little Jesus. I need a lot of Jesus. And that takes the form of the present ministry of the Holy Spirit. We used to sing, I need thee, oh, I need thee. Every hour I need thee. David prayed in Psalm 51, Lord, don't take your Holy Spirit from me. Are you walking in the Spirit today? Are you living in the Spirit? Are you filled with the Spirit? If not, I know where there's a fountain filled. And it never runs dry. He told the woman, he said, look, if you drink of this water, you're going to thirst some more. But I know where there's some water that if you thirst, if you'll drink of it, you'll never get thirsty again. What I'm saying is the church needs to find that fountain again. And we need to go back and be refreshed in the Holy Spirit. And then we need to be refilled and saturated and anointed and appointed for this time. Who knows? But that for this purpose, we've been called here. Would you stand with me this morning? We've been encouraged by the Holy Spirit. We have our helper in the Holy Spirit. Oh, there's a lot more we could talk about with the Holy Spirit. But His present ministry, this is a doctrine that we neglect at our peril. It's unfortunate that we have a lot of people today that have grown up in church. Some that have never heard this distinctive doctrine of the Holy Spirit. Don't know anything about the Holy Spirit because they kind of, remember last week I said that we don't talk about the Holy Spirit because we think it's kind of all woo, you know, like doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo, kind of spooky. Somebody asked me one time, said, "Hey, is your church haunted?" I said, "No, only by the Holy Ghost. The only ghost here." We think it's some mysterious force. When he's been around since the beginning of time. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The Spirit of God hovered over the face of that. He's been around. He's been a part of the Godhead. He's been working, the agent of creation. He's been around. He's been working. Paul, again, I'm just telling you that his ministry is still alive and well today, and it's available to us if we just avail ourselves. Lord, here's my cup. Fill it up. I'm going to do it again. That was our altar call last week. I'm going to do it again today. If you're here today, say, "Pastor, you know what? My cup's kind of run dry." Well, I'm just going to say, in a moment, when they start singing, I want you to come, bring your cup. Say, "Lord, fill me up. It's been a long time since I've been to that fountain. And Lord, I just want you to fill me one more time. I want you, Lord, I want to drink from that fountain that never runs dry." If you have a void in your life, if your spiritual life is not where it needs to be, then say, "God, saturate me one more time." Because I'm telling you, when you learn to taste and see, he is good. And he'll satisfy the longing of your soul. But you got to quit dabbing your toe in it and say, "God, take all of me. Take all of me." So this morning as they sing, how about it? If you're here today, say, "Pastor, I'm just ready. I want the Lord to do a work in my life. I want the Spirit of God to come alive in me like he's never done before." As they sing, would you just come? I just want you to come down and make this your time of committal. God, I just give it all to you right now. I just give it all to you.
If more of you,
come on, make this your prayer. Come on, friend.
Make everything, yes, all of you is all I need. Take everything. If more of you means less of me, take everything. Yes, all of you is all I need. Take everything. If more of you means less of me, take everything. Yes, all of you is all I need. Take everything. If more of you means less of me, take everything. Yes, all of you is all I need. Take everything. If more of you means less of me, take everything. If more of you means less of me, take everything. Yes, all of you is all I need. Take everything. If more of you is less of me, take everything. Yes, all of you is all I need. Take everything, oh Lord, change me like only you can. Here with my heart in your hands, Father, I pray, make me more. The way to your heart, Father, I pray, make me more like Jesus. Oh Lord, in your hand. Father, I pray, make me more like Jesus. This world is dying to know who you are. You showed us the way to your heart. Father, I pray, make me more like Jesus, more like Jesus, more like Jesus. Oh, if more of you, less of me, take everything. Yes, all of you is all I need. Take everything. If more of you means less of me, take everything. Yes, all of you is all I need. Take everything. If more of you means less of me, take everything.
Hallelujah.
Yes, all of you is all I need. Take everything.
I'm going to ask you this morning, all across the building, would you just lift your hands up to Him? And I'm going to ask you to turn your palms up. I've always taught that we need to turn our palms down in the mode of giving. But don't you turn them up for receiving. Father, today we stand at a desperate time. The early church was born amid the power of the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And somehow we've gotten away to where we want to do today ministry apart from the Holy Spirit. So Lord, we stand in desperate need today. The demands, the darkness of our time demands a church that is emboldened and empowered by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit's been described as a rushing mighty wind, a fire, a fountain. Lord, I pray that the fire would fall one more time. Lord, that you would saturate us with a freshness in our walk with you, and that we would be empowered to walk in the Spirit and live in the Spirit. Lord, you said if we lack, that we can call out to you and that you would give liberally. Lord, you said wisdom. Lord, I believe that the power of the Holy Spirit is available this morning to each and every one of us. And Lord, we turn our hands, our palms up to you. And Lord, we ask you for a freshness to be poured out in our walk. Take the staleness away. Take the doldrums away. Take the ho-hum away. And Lord, fill us once again with the power and the anointing of the Spirit so that we can live in this present world and shine as ambassadors in a darkened time. Father, I pray that we would be noted, that people would stop and say, what does all this mean? What does this mean? And Lord, give us that access. So Father, I pray that we would be a Spirit-empowered body of believers. I pray for marriages today as they learn to rely on the anointing and the power of the Holy Spirit, Lord, to overcome the flesh that wars within them. Lord, to build strong homes, strong families, strong children, generations of believers that rely and function under the unction of the Holy Spirit. Father, I pray that this church, Lord, would be renowned as a church filled with the power of the Holy Spirit, that's not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to them who believe. Lord, we're not going to be drunk with wine, Lord, in the old days as in itself, but Lord, be filled continually with the Holy Spirit of God. Father, may we walk out of here today, Lord, thoroughly convinced that, Lord, we need you every hour of every day. Fill us to overflowing, and Lord, us keep going back to the fountain that never runs dry. Lord, go with us. Give us a great day, great week, May we learn what it is to walk in the Spirit so that we will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. I love and bless each one now in the mighty name of Jesus. And we all said, amen. Amen. God bless you. Hallelujah. Thank you for being with us online. I'll see you next time. God bless you. I love you.
Change me like only you can. Here with my heart in your hand. Father, I pray, make me more like Jesus. This world is dying to know who you are. You've shown us the way to your heart. Father, I pray, make me more like Jesus. More like Jesus. More like Jesus. Oh, if more of you means less of me, take everything. Yes, all of you. Of me, take everything. Yes, all of you is all I need. Take everything.